Shalom, love and blessings, Yah's family of Yah. It's Yehuda coming to you with another episode. And today's podcast is entitled, What Do We Need to Do to Be One of the Few? What do we need to do to be one of the few? This is going to be an uncomfortable ride for a lot of people. But it's all going to be scripture. It's all going to be the word. It's from the mouths of Jesus, from the mouths of the apostles and the prophets. So I encourage you, hang on, take your Bibles and hold it up like a mirror and see that you make sure that you're in line, because I know that many are going to be offended because of the truth that's going to come out in this. But I'm just encouraging and praying that you just stay in for the whole ride, for the whole message, so that you can be blessed, set free, and stand fast wherein the liberty wherein Christ the Messiah has set you free. So without further ado, let's do this. What must we do to be one of the few? So before I get into what I'm going to say and the discussion that we'll have and the questions that I'll ask, there's a brother, young brother, and I'm going to allow, this is something that he did, you know, just to highlight the issue within the church, within the body of Christ, within believers. And it's probably going to be quite shocking for some of you, but instead of me amping it up beforehand, let me just play his audio, what he has said, and then I will speak to you on the other side.
All right, guys, I've never really done anything like this before, but I feel like there's a huge problem among my fellow believers that really needs to be addressed here. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Jacob Dufour, and I'm a Christian filmmaker. I recently joined several large Christian groups on Facebook to help promote my company's movies. As I began seeing other posts on the group, I noticed that most of them said things like, comment amen for Jesus, keep scrolling for Satan, or if you comment amen, God will bless you with such and such, and that kind of garbage. And I thought to myself, this is a group of hundreds of thousands of people who profess to be Christians. Let's see how many are actually serious about it. So I decided to do something a little controversial, and if I was wrong in any way for doing it, I sincerely apologize. But I decided to do a little experiment. So I posted Luke 4:7 in the group along with a caption, comment amen if you agree. For those of you who don't know the verse by heart, Luke 4:7 says, if you worship me, all will be yours. Which at first seems like a pretty inspirational quote, until you realize it's being said by Satan as he's tempting Jesus. After 1 minute of it being posted, I had 5 amens. Within the hour, I had over 100. As of the time of me saying this, the post has 666 likes, found that kind of ironic, and 576 comments. Out of those comments, only 20 people corrected me. That's 3.5%. 3.5. Almost 97% of the comments from supposed Christians were in agreement with something straight out of the devil's mouth simply because they sounded nice and were taken out of context. This is what's wrong with Christianity, guys. You know what 97% looks like on a chart? It looks like this. That's how many professing Christians did not take the time to learn what the Bible said or to at least fact-check me before commenting. And it wasn't just your everyday believers commenting either. One amen in particular, which has since been deleted, but not before I screenshotted it, was by a man whose account name was so-and-so Pastor. Now, I just wanted to make sure that his last name wasn't Pastor or anything, so I commented, are you a pastor? Yes, he said. Do you realize who is speaking in this passage? Yes, our Lord Jesus. Our Lord Jesus, a man who calls himself an overseer of God's church, an elder, a leader, is completely ignorant not only to who said this, but to the entire gospel of Jesus Christ and the entire reason that Jesus did what he did in the first place. Some other comments. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and hallelujah. Amen, Lord. Thank you for everything you do for me and my family members. All my desires will be my possession. What? What do people think Christianity is? Jesus died so that we could be rich? So that life could be easy? No. Jesus died so that we could have eternal salvation. Anyone who thinks they'll be rewarded materially because they decided to follow Jesus is in for a big surprise, because that ain't what it's all about. That's a bunch of prosperity gospel nonsense. It's false teaching, and it's taken right out of Satan's mouth in Luke 4:7. Read your Bible, guys. Know what it's about. Understand that there is false doctrine out there, and apparently 97% of us fall for it. 2 Timothy 4 says that for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. That's exactly what's happened, to the point that most of us don't even care enough about the truth to open our Bibles or to go on a Bible website to read it for ourselves. We just hear something, and if it sounds good, then we believe it. And that has to stop. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness." The Bible is important. Our salvation depends on our understanding of this book. We have to understand that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to earth, lived a perfect life, died a horrible, painful death, and rose again so that by following him we could have eternal life in heaven. That's it. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Not riches, not material blessings, not possessions. Everlasting life.
Wow, absolutely amazing. So there you have the perfect example of why only a few are going to make it. And that's taken from a video that you can find on yahites.org in a post entitled "Why Only Few Will Be Saved." And there you can see the chart that he was talking about in regards to what 3.5% actually looks like. So when you can, go and check that out. It'll be good to hear what he said again, and also to see the chart in a visual form, because there's also scriptures there. So this is coming off the back of an experience that I had, and the experience was that years ago I was praying, and I'd witness, share, encourage, exhort, etc. Speak to unbelievers, preach to unbelievers, and also fellowship with believers. And one of the things I found was that so many believers have such diverse doctrines that are completely in error, and they're living their lives in line with the error that they believe rather than the truth of the Word of God. So I'd be thinking, what is going on? And I'd pray about it. And then one day I started, devil, you're a liar, and I rebuke you in Jesus' name. So I'm there doing that, and I strongly heard the word, "No, I did this." And I was in shock, because I'm thinking, why would the Lord, why would the Holy Spirit say that he did that Yah did this? Until he led me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is this particular verse and a particular statement that is made that really opened my eyes, and you could say changed my mindset and how I perceived and saw things. So if you can grab your scriptures, if you're on the phone, you can actually, this will continue playing in the background if you need to switch apps. So if you grab your scriptures with me, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and even though it's just one verse that I'm looking to get, I like things in context, so I'm going to read from the top of the chapter. I teach everybody and train up everybody, show everybody that Yah leads me to, everything must be in context. Do not take things in isolation, because that's how many of you and many people out there have been fooled, because many so-called preachers and teachers and apostles and prophets, etc., they take things out of context and then twist it and then feed corrupt seed into your hearts and to your minds. So let's go from the top of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. What I will do is I'm going to be using three different translations so that you can get a very rounded and a holistic view of what the Apostle Paul was actually saying here. So it says this letter, it says now dear, it says at the beginning that this letter is from Paul, so we know that Paul the Apostle wrote this along with Silas and Timothy. It says, now dear brothers, in chapter 2, now dear brothers and sisters, let us clarify some things about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and how we will be gathered to meet him. It says, don't be so easily shaken or alarmed by those who say that the day of the Lord has already begun. Don't believe them, even if they claim to have had a spiritual vision, a revelation, or a letter supposedly from us. So at that time, there were people saying that the day of the Lord had already happened. It was already past, you know, and that it was too late for many. Okay, so obviously many people were frightened and shaken, because they're thinking that they'd missed the Lord coming to get his own. So, and I'm reading here from the New Living Translation, and I will jump between the New Living Translation, the King James Version, and the Amplified Bible, so you get a whole rounded view. It says, don't be fooled by what they say, for that day will not come until there is a great rebellion against God and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the one who brings destruction. He will exalt himself and defy everything that people call God and every object of worship. He will even sit in the temple of God, claiming that he himself is God. The word in the King James Version, it says, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worship, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. The Amplified Bible says, who opposes and exalts himself so proudly and so insolently above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he actually enters and takes his seat in the temple of God, publicly proclaiming that he himself is God. And we can see that that was actually prophesied in Ezekiel 28 and verse 2, and from in Daniel chapter 11 in 36 and 37. So you can go and check those out, because that's the backing of that, those verses there, along with Daniel 7 and Daniel 8. And it was also, again, repeated in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Then the apostle goes on to say, do you not remember that when I was still with you, I was telling you these things? So he's saying to them, look, I told you beforehand, before these people tried to come in and deceive you and tell you that the coming of the Lord has already happened, I had already told you this stuff. And he goes on to explain in depth now. He says, and you know what is holding him back? And this is the lawless one, for he can be revealed only when his time comes. For this lawlessness is already at work secretly. So he's saying it already started back then, and it will remain secret until the one who is holding it back steps out of the way. It says, then the man of lawlessness will be revealed, but the Lord Jesus will kill him with the breath of his mouth and destroy him by the splendor of his coming. I go to the New King James Version. It says, And then the lawlessness one will be revealed, and whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. It goes on to say, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. I'll say that again. But I'll do it from a different version. Let's go to the Amplified version. Okay. It says, then the lawless one, the Antichrist, will be revealed, and the Lord Jesus will slay him with the breath of his mouth and bring him to an end by the appearance of his coming. The coming of the Antichrist, the lawless one, is through the activity of Satan, attended with great power, all kinds of counterfeit miracles and deceptive signs and false wonders, all of them lies, and by unlimited seduction to evil, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who are perishing, because they did not welcome the love of the truth. New Living Testament says, this man will come to do the work of Satan with counterfeit power and signs and miracles. He will use every kind of evil deception to fool those on their way to destruction, because they refuse to love and accept the truth that would save them. So God will cause them to be greatly deceived, and they will believe these lies. Then they will be condemned for enjoying evil rather than believing the truth. And again, from the Amplified, it says, because of this, God will send upon them a misleading influence, an activity of error and deception, so that they will believe the lie, in order that all may be judged and condemned who did not believe the truth about their sin and need for salvation through Christ, but instead took pleasure in unrighteousness. And therein was the passage that is laid on me really to speak to you about. Because people don't love the truth, there's so many people who are hunting down miracles, hunting down solutions for problems in their life, craving to be satiated in their sinful life. So they think that they can go get prayer, do some sort of ritual, and God will bless them. And they get deceived. And because they don't love the truth, Yah God says here that he will send them the strong delusion. Strong delusion is the word that's spoken of in the King James Version, the New King James Version. And I'll read that here. It says, the coming of the lawless one, and this is the New King James Version, it says, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan. So this is how Satan moves. This is how Satan operates. The scripture is telling you here, Paul the Apostle by the Holy Spirit is telling you here, that the way that Satan works is with all power, signs, and lying wonders. How many of you have followed people because of signs, because of particular power, or some particular wonder? Not for the word, not for the truth, not for holiness, not because they've been making you a disciple of the Messiah and teaching you things that you need to observe, but because you wanted an answer to a prayer. There was a need that you have. And so many people get sucked in. This is the way that Satan works. And he says, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. So there's so much deception going on. You can just go on YouTube and see how much deception is going on, fake miracles. But these churches are filled to the rafters. They are filled to the brim with people receiving false prophecies, false miracles, because it makes them feel good. The gospel isn't a feel good thing. The word of God is not a feel good thing. It is the truth. It is the truth. And sometimes the truth hurts. It cuts down. It really hits hard. You know? But too many people want a word or want a truth that satisfies them where they're at in their sin. So what must we do so that we can be one of the few? The thing that we can do to be one of the few is to love truth. You've got to love truth, whether you like it or not, whether it agrees with your opinion, whether it agrees with your viewpoint, because Satan is coming, and he comes with all lying wonders, powers and signs and unrighteous deception, and among those who perish. And if you find yourself in amongst that type of congregation or that type of body of believers, who all they want is signs and wonders let me do this and get a prayer, and I'll get the blessings of God and blessings this. God is looking for you to have fruit. When I talk about blessings, I'm talking about fruit that comes from obedience to Yah. You have to love the truth. Otherwise, anything that you get is genetically modified, is of Satan, and it cannot produce life. If anybody of you know about genetically modified seeds and organisms, I'll give you a quick rundown. They actually kill the soil. So I went to a farm, a couple farms in Kenya, and one of the farms had used completely, specifically, genetically modified seeds. And what had happened is now they got one good bumper crop, and then the next year these bugs came out of nowhere, and it's what is known as superbugs. No pesticide could kill them, but the crops that came was completely dead. It was just not good for human consumption, and these bugs, they couldn't kill them. And the horrible thing was that the soil that they had planted it in was also now completely bereft of life, so they couldn't grow anything else in it. And they had to, the caveat with these genetically modified seeds is you can only grow now that particular brand of seed in that soil. And that's what's happening to so many people's hearts, because our heart is the receptacle for the seed from the sower. But because so much corrupt seed has gone in, it makes the heart dead, so that the good seed cannot grow. And literally, one of the only ways to replenish or get that soil back is you have to scorch the earth, you have to burn it, burn the soil. And what is needed for so many of you and so many of people out there is that they need the fire of the Holy Ghost, the fire of the Spirit of Yah, to scorch their heart, to scorch and burn the soil in their heart, so that this truth seed, the word of truth, can germinate in their hearts again. Let me continue. Because it says here, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in righteousness. So here we see it was God who sent them strong delusion for them to believe the lie. So that because they didn't want the truth, they didn't believe the truth, they didn't come into the truth and say, you know what, I know what I think, I know what my opinion is, I know what I feel, you know, the feelings that I like, and you know, I want this type of blessing thing in my life, but it's not really bringing the fruit of God. They ignore that. And so God sends it to them, They get the results of that, and they don't realize that they're perishing and that they're going to be condemned because they did not believe the truth, but they had pleasure in unrighteousness. You want to be one of the few? Love truth. Love truth. Seek truth. When truth comes, the truth of Yah's word, make sure that your opinion, your viewpoint, doesn't get in the way. Because Yah has got so many things in store for you. You know, there are blessings. There is fruit for you to have. But there is only one way, there is only one truth, and there's only one life. So this is why we see so many of those churches, mega churches, etc., and so many corrupt things that are happening in the churches. You know, pedophilia happening, incest, adultery, murder, lies, fornication, whoredoms, theft, embezzlement is rife. And people stick with it and they think it's okay, but they don't realize that these are the signs that where you're at is just not where Yah's at. Yah is calling you to him. He's drawing you to him. And I'm imploring you, love the truth. Love the truth. Seek the truth. Hunger and thirst for truth and for his righteousness. Because there is no other way to be one of the few. Because Jesus said it, many are called, but few are chosen. He even spoke about, straight is the gate, narrow is the way, but few there be that find it. Take time now to pray, to seek God. And if you want to get in contact, feel free to get in contact. Yah is calling you and he's drawing you to him. He's saying, come out from among them. Be ye separate, be holy, be set apart, and I will receive you. Shalom, love, and blessings. Shalom, love, and blessings, guys. I hope that was a blessing to you, and I hope you take on board and hear what the Spirit of God is saying to you, the Spirit of Yah is saying, because he doesn't want you to be in amongst those who are perishing. He doesn't want you perishing. He doesn't want you condemned. Yah loves you, and that's why he sent his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believes would not perish, but through him have everlasting life. And that belief is not a belief like even the demons have, that they believe God, but the belief that draws you and leads you and propels you into obedience, where you make the choice to obey. Even as the gospel says, believe and be baptized. Our belief is shown through being baptized. So if you are a believer and you haven't been baptized, you need to be baptized. You need to be born again. And then after that, all we do is we follow Jesus. We follow Yeshua. We obey with the apostles' doctrine. So if you want to get in contact, the number here is, if you're in the UK, 07494913543. And if you are calling from abroad, then it's +44 7494913543, and you can actually get in contact via WhatsApp as well, or mail us here at mail@yahites.org, or simply at the bottom of this message on the app, at the page, you'll see a message button that you can simply click and leave an audio message, or you can leave a written message. So get in contact, and I hope to hear from you soon, and I pray that the fruit and the blessings that Yah has for you the true fruit, not the genetically modified or satanically modified, the true fruit of Yah, you will experience in your life with the manifest kingdom of God. So now let's have a little discussion. You know, I'm just asking you to consider a few things now. You know, as we hear and listen to the message, you know, what are you being taught when you go to church or when you're fellowshipping? What is the real main gist of what you're getting from your so-called apostle, so-called prophet, so-called evangelist, pastor or teacher? I'm asking you what you're getting. Is it all about blessing? What's it about? Because the command that Jesus gave, Yahushua gave, was go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. So, as believers, the leaders are meant to be teaching everyone to observe what Jesus has commanded. Are you being taught that? Are you being taught how to keep your home? How to be in order, both in the home and in the assembly? How to handle your finances? You know, because a lot of people really, you know, like, you can disagree with me if you want. What I've found is that there's so many out there who all they're doing is just asking for money, and they're not actually giving you anything that is causing you to be holy, to be set apart, to be separated. Because now, to me, when I'm looking, it just doesn't seem as if people are different. Believers are any different than people in the world. In fact, I've actually seen churches, they're playing worldly music. Literal, like, whether it's hip-hop, whether it's soul, R&B, rock, they're literally playing, taking songs that were for corrupt lyrics and energy behind it. And I know what I'm talking about because I came out of the music industry. So I understand the energy behind music on a deeper level. But the people in the church, believers, they look no different. They act no different. They talk no different. The fruit of their life is no different than people in the world. There's no differentiation in any way whatsoever. You know, and it's comfortable. It seems it's comfortable for so many people. Because then you fit in, you don't stand out, you don't stick out in society. But that's not what we're called to do. We're not called to fit in. We're called to stand out. We're called to be apart, to be set apart, to be the head, not the tail. We're not meant to be copying the fashions of this world, whether it's clothing, whether it's music, whether it's films, whether it's art, whatever it is. We're meant to be the head and not the tail. And so I'm saying to all of you, everybody listening, you know, examine yourselves really to see whether you're in the faith and really check yourselves. And I pray and I hope that the love of God really hits your heart and envelopes your heart. And you come to the love of Jesus, to come to the love of Yah through Christ Jesus, the Messiah. So that you will leave the things of this world and you will walk holy, set apart with him, because you have to love the truth and allow this truth to get into you, beloved. You know, if you disagree with anything that I've said, then Like I always say, come, let us reason together. You know, this isn't a debate, it's not an argument. If you want truth, let's get to the truth. Because I want to see you blessed. You know, I want to see you bearing the fruit that comes from obedience to Yah and His word, to keeping the commandments and the testimony of Jesus, Yeshua. So until next time, I say to you, shalom, love, and blessings. Peace.